MLB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Hi, this is Luis Urias, and you are listening to El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Sixth inning at Tecumseh Cheney Stadium today. The Chihuahuas are down 9-5. Donovan Solano leads off this inning against a new pitcher, the tall right-hander, Ty Buttree, on the hill. Solano 0 for 2 today, and he swings and misses. It's 0-1. Here's the pitch. Swinging a line drive left field. Solak slides and catches on a backhand. A feet-first sliding play by Tecumseh's left fielder. And there's one down. This is Buttree's ninth game. He's got an 0-1 record and a 7.88 ERA. In eight innings, he's allowed 11 hits, striking out 7, walking 3. Matthew Batten shows bunt, pulls back, and the pitch called a ball down low, 1-0. Buttree, now 31 years old, a former Angel in the majors, is 6'6", 240 pounds. And he sends in a fastball around Batten's letters for ball two. A 2-0 is a called strike. And yes, that chance is Let's Go Tigers. Tecumseh playing in Tecumseh Tigers jerseys. Their team name from the mid-80s to the mid-90s. 2-1, foul ball back. Two balls and two strikes. Batten is hitting with one down and no Chihuahuas on. El Paso seeking a late comeback today. They trail 9-5, looking to avoid a series loss. A 2-2 is low for a ball. A rainy series, which led to a 40-minute weather delay during this game in the fifth inning. 3-2. Batten takes a close pitch for ball four. The game on Thursday night was rained out. It was the Chihuahuas' first postponed game of any kind since 2022. It ended a stretch of 220 consecutive games played for the Chihuahuas without a postponement. Here's the pitch. The swing and a ground ball to the left side, picked by the shortstop Bliss. He throws to second, caught there. Relay throw. Plowecki is out. And that ends the Chihuahuas' sixth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, and no one left on base. In the middle of the sixth inning, it is 9-5 Tecumseh on 600 ESPN El Paso.
The Chihuahua season is in full swing. Get to the game in style when you shop at Casa Auto Group. From fuel-efficient cars, spacious SUVs, or trucks big enough to get the job done. Get game-changing savings on a Grand Slam selection at any Casa Auto Group dealership. And now you can shop our newest brands like Toyota, Chevy, Ram, Honda, Jeep, and more. Plus, get free delivery within 100 miles of any Casa dealership. 13 brands, 6 El Paso locations, one name to remember. Casa Auto Group, home of the nice guys. Yeah!
As our region's leading commercial bank, Westar's focus is to lend to small businesses, the backbone of our local economy. Unlike national banks, we quickly put your deposits to work, using them to loan needed capital for area businesses to grow and thrive. In turn, that growth creates new jobs and opportunities, helping build a better future for us all. Visit WeststarBank.com today to see how together we can build your savings and our communities. Westar, it's more than banking. Member FDIC.
Big dreams start at New Mexico State University. Unlock your potential with NMSU's degree programs, a global online campus community, and real-life research and creative opportunities. Get the full college experience only a short drive up I-10. Students will find long-term success within a welcoming campus community committed to student achievement. Hey, El Paso juniors and seniors, you may be eligible for a huge tuition discount. Find out more at nmsu.edu. New Mexico State University. Be bold. Shape the future.
Every Chihuahua's hit, run, and win airs right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Longhorn Distributing is where the pros shop for their vehicle detailing supplies. They're open to the public at 5516 East Paisano between I-10 and Fox Plaza with parking in the back. Longhorn Distributing is the distributor of the number one selling pressure washer in the U.S. That's the Hot Seat. Check them out at 5516 East Paisano with parking in the back. Ryan Bliss leads off the bottom of the sixth inning for Tacoma with a light mist now coming down again. Bobby Malacky on the mound for the Chihuahuas. El Paso's down 9-5. And the first pitch, a fastball inside for ball one. Bliss is 0-1 with a walk and a sack bunt. He swings and foul tips one off Plawecki's mid here. One ball, one strike. Bliss also has a run scored. He came in on Brian Anderson's sacrifice fly in the fourth inning. The 1-1, high for a ball. Two balls and one strike on Ryan Bliss. Malacky's 2-1 comes in. That is high. Malacky and the pitch. Fastball outside for ball one. ...10-5 Tacoma. 1-0. That's a called strike. The Rainiers have at least one run in every inning so far. Single runs in the 4th, 5th, and 6th, most recently. Malacky shakes off a sign. Right hand hitting Brian Anderson in there with a 1-1 count. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. He tried to stop the swing, but he went too far. The home plate umpire appealed it, which was a surprise to me. It looked obvious that he went. And the first base umpire confirmed that he did swing. It's a ball. Two strikes on Anderson. Now the 1-2. Swung on, fly ball, right field. Coming in Mercado, but the ball lands. A base hit in the rain, landing in right. Anderson's aboard. And Michael Chavis will bat next. Chavis is 1-for-3 with a double and a run back in the third. Here's the set. And the pitch. Fastball for a called strike. The 0-1. Swung on, hit in the air to deep right center field. Johnson, the center fielder, heading back near the wall. And it hits the fence and bounces past Johnson. Chavis on his way to second base. Anderson will score. Chavis going to third. Throw coming to the plate, but it's not in time and up the line. Chavis hits a triple off the fence. It's 11-5 Rainiers. Chavis has a double and a triple today. That triple drives in Anderson. And I thought for a moment they might wave at Chavis for the inside the park home run because the ball bounced that far away from the center fielder Johnson. But the Chihuahuas got it in quickly. Here comes Scott Mitchell, the Chihuahuas pitching coach, for a meeting at the mound. Samad Taylor hitting next with Chavis at third base. Well, the Chihuahuas had a 5-run second inning and led 5-1, but things have done a 180 since then. 10 unanswered runs by Tacoma as the Rainiers ahead 11-5. Texas Farm Bureau members get 4 free tickets to any Sunday Chihuahuas home game by showing proof of membership at the ticket office. Visit texasfarmbureau.org/sports and learn more and become a member today. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, a proud sponsor of Chihuahuas baseball. Samad Taylor steps into bat, 1-for-3 today with a single at 2 strikeouts. Malachi nods at a sign and the pitch. Breaking ball for a called strike. No balls and one strike on Taylor. The 0-1. That's a called strike. No balls and 2 strikes on Taylor. The 0-2, inside for a ball. 1-2 and had Taylor spinning around and running out of the box. Bobby Malachi nods at a sign. The Chihuahua's righty throws. That is outside. 2-2 on right-hand hitting Samat Taylor. Here's the next one. Swing and a miss, strike 3. And 2 away in the inning, both on strikeouts. And it brings up Jason Vossler. Here's Jason Vossler, who's been on base 3 times today. The pitch. Swing and a foul line drive to the net, first base side. Foster's got a double, a single, a walk, and 3 runs scored. The 1-2. That is high and away for a ball. Foster grounds one up the middle, and it finds center field. He's on for a 4th time. Chavis jogs home and scores. The Rainiers add another. It's 12-5. Blake Hunt hits next. 2-for-3, 2 homers and a fly to right. The swing here and a line drive in left field. It falls in front of LoCastro. Vossler goes to second base on a single by Hunt. His 3rd hit today. The Chihuahuas have a righty, Alec Jacob, warming in the bullpen, but he hasn't been warming for long. So they'll stick with Malachi here to try and finish off this inning. Nick Solak hits next. Solak, the number 9 batter for the Rainiers, is 1-for-3 with an RBI double back in the 5th. Swing and a miss here, counted 0-1 on Solak. Vossler's at second base, Hunt's at first base. The pitch, wave and a miss there. It's 0-2. Now the pitch in the dirt for a ball. Right-hander Bobby Malachi, his foot on the first base side of the rubber. Gets the sign from the catcher, Plowecki. And on 1-2, he deals. That is high. 2-2.12-5 Rainiers. The pitch. Swinging a ground ball to the shortstop, McCoy. Underhand flip to second in time. That ends the 6th inning. The Rainiers had 3 more. and lead the Chihuahuas by 7. It's 12-5 heading to the 7th inning on the 600 ESPN El Paso.
I'm Zay Galindo back in the 600 ESPN El Paso studios bringing you this SportsCenter update. Starting off in Las Vegas, where the Reno Aces are hosting the Sugarland Space Cowboys. That one has just gone final. It's the visitors. Sugarland taking the 10-5 win, and they'll improve to 19-8 on the year. Meanwhile, Reno will fall to 12-14. Now to a couple finals from around the league. Albuquerque got the best of Oklahoma City. They improved to 8-19, so getting it back on track to start the year. Meanwhile, Oklahoma City falls to 16-11. Sacramento went scoreless against Las Vegas, the Aviators shutting out the Rivercats 7-0 to improve to 12-14 on the year. Meanwhile, Sacramento falls to 17-10. One canceled game due to rain. It's Round Rock and Salt Lake. That one has been canceled. Salt Lake came into that game at 9-17. Meanwhile, Round Rock 12-14. That's all I have for you back in the 600 ESPN El Paso studios. Once again, I'm Zay Galindo bringing you this SportsCenter update. Let's get you back out to the ballpark where the El Paso Chihuahuas trail the Tacoma Rainiers 12-5 at the start of the 7th. Let's get you back out to the ballpark with the voice of Chihuahuas, Tim Haggerty.
It is 12-5 Tacoma. The Rainiers have taken the field. The umpires, though, are speaking on the grass in between the mound and the plate. And the Rainiers now are coming off the field. I don't know why. It's sunny. There's no rain coming down. Third base umpire Aaron Higgins is speaking to somebody on the other side of the gate, a Rainiers employee. Aaron Higgins now giving a thumbs up to somebody. I don't know what's going on here. I can't even think of what it could be. I initially wondered if maybe the gate was broken and it was going to be open or something, and they had to fix that, but the Rainiers have cleared the field here in the 7th inning. The score is 12-5 Tacoma. This game has already seen a weather delay of 40 minutes. Now the three umpires are going to head over to the Chihuahuas first base side dugout and update Pete Zamora and the Chihuahuas. The field is completely clear. Some Chihuahuas are walking in from the first base side, or the right field bullpen walking down the first base line to the dugout. I can't imagine it's forecasted rain that would halt the action here. Rainiers relievers are coming in, and a member of Tacoma's PR team just came by, shrugged his shoulders. He does not know what's going on. Tacoma's broadcaster via text message also does not know what's going on. We have the most unexplained delay in Chihuahua's history. There is no rain coming down. Some fans are leaving, not urgently. Some of the fans down beneath the press box are wondering and asking me, I don't know. The field looks good. You would not need the lights yet. It's not a light delay. It's still bright enough here. The Chihuahuas are heading into the clubhouse. Folks, I am absolutely without speech here. I don't even have a theory. The Tacoma Rainiers took the field in the 7th inning. They were pulled off the field. It does not appear to be an emergency. because those people leaving the field were not doing so in an urgent way. There's no rain coming down, as we mentioned. Our only clue is that third base umpire and crew chief Aaron Higgins went over to the gate and was speaking to a Tacoma Rainiers employee right near that gate. At the end of that discussion, he gave it thumbs up. It made me wonder if maybe that gate was broken and they didn't want to play with it that way, but that does not appear to be the case. It's also in foul territory. A member of the Rainiers front office is speaking to one of the umpires on the field. They are the only two people on the infield in fair territory. You know, maybe there's some concern on the infield. Yeah, the infield dirt was uncovered during the rain. They did the best they could. But the thing is, the teams played for a while on that dirt. The delay was in the fourth inning. It is now the seventh inning, and the grounds crew is going back to work on the dirt. So this could be a delay related to the field conditions. But that's why it was so hard to figure out, because they just played a couple of innings on it. And there were no incidents of anybody falling. The scoreboard has an image that says, "Sorry, we're delayed." Tacoma is ahead 12-5. This is an official game. Grounds crew going to work on the field, which gives the inclination that maybe they're trying to figure this out, make the infield dirt better, and then continue the game. But thank you for your patience here. This has not been the smoothest day on field for the Chihuahuas. They led 5-1. Now they're behind 12-5. And we are going to now have our second field condition delay. The first one was when there was water coming down. Now it's their effort to repair the field. And we're going to have to send things back to ESPN Radio once again. So thank you for your patience. Thank you to Zig Galindo back at the studio. And it's not often we have two delays in the same ball game, but that is what we're going to have to hit here. And Tacoma's leading 12-5. We'll try to gather information on the field and the status of this game and then report back to you at the time that we're able to get that info and decisions are made. This is Chihuahuas Baseball from Tacoma on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Commissioner Pete Rozelle. So he became friends with Pete Rozelle. And so he was just kind of on the periphery of the NFL for a long, long time. And Salata was an underdog. He was this guy drafted very late. He was a Serbian immigrant who made good and became a good athlete and then started his own construction company. And so he was a scrappy underdog. And he went to Pete Rozelle. Pete Rozelle thought Salata was a hilarious person. And Salata came to him with this idea that what if we celebrated the last pick of the draft? And at the time, the NFL draft was nothing like it is now. I mean, this was just like this. I mean, you see the old footage of people. There was no war rooms with cameras in them and stuff.
The 35th Annual National Football League selection meeting is now in session. First choice, first round, Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers select Terry Bradshaw, quarterback.
Nobody really cared, you know? And so Pete Rozelle was like, sure, that sounds fun. It'll drum up some publicity maybe. Paul, go for it. And so he did.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the 70s were a long time ago, not just sort of in average American years, but in football years. That might as well have been the Stone Ages. The idea of somebody marketing themselves based on a position, I mean, that was pretty groundbreaking, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I had forgotten that the draft used to be like 500 players. Now it's 250, 260 players. I mean, they were taking guys people didn't even, you know, other teams hadn't even heard of. You know, there were some stories about that. There would be a guy drafted and teams would look around the room and be like, who's Mike Wilson? I've never heard of that name. And so it was a completely different era where, you know, honestly, like if I'm just being judgy, it was a lot more fun. You know, it was not this big business. Every pick is sponsored and going to the ad breaks and blah. It was like a very blue collar, like fun thing, you know, and the business of the NFL, it was not big business yet. So when somebody said, let's throw a party for the absolute last player, I mean, it just is. It would be unheard of now for the NFL to sign off. It's too fun. They wouldn't do it.
How did this rollout like actually go in terms of what they did, though?
Well, it was the first Mr. Irrelevant was a perfect window into how this was kind of a very fun, not sloppy, but just not buttoned up and purposely not buttoned up. It's still not buttoned up. It's a well-run thing, but they don't ever want this thing to be a corporate retreat. You know, this is like a fun thing, and Paul Salata was the spirit of it. He is not the efficient planner type, so he turned that over to his daughter, Melanie, who was in her early 20s. She's a logistical guru, but the whole thing was supposed to be a little off the rails. It was supposed to be this giant party, sort of constructed to model Paul Salata himself, which was this fun, goofy, long shot guy. And so they built this week of celebration as this fun party at the beach, you know, and they went to Disneyland. They had these wild night tours going to bars and restaurants, and they had a big celebration dinner at the end of the week. I mean, it was basically a roast of this football player trying to make his way in the NFL. And so the year one was the perfect one. The first official year of Mr. Irrelevant was 1976, and the last pick that year was a guy named Kelvin Kirk. And so Kelvin Kirk missed his flight, and we didn't all have cell phones in 1976, contrary to what the kids think. So you actually, it was like kind of hard to get a hold of people. And so he missed his flight. He didn't check in. They didn't know he had missed the flight. So they're unveiling this big thing, and they have all this big press conference to welcome the first Mr. Irrelevant, Kelvin Kirk. And all this media shows up, and Melanie's at the airport, like, where is this guy? And eventually she goes back and talks to her dad. Her dad's like, yeah, he just called. He missed his flight. He's going to be 3 hours late. But it was going to put him right up against the start of this press conference. And so they were like, what are we going to do? And so Paul Salata did what Paul Salata does, which is like a total curveball solution. He was like, I know a guy that works as a butcher in our neighborhood here. He looks a lot like Kelvin Kirk. I'll have him stand in at the press conference while you get the actual Mr. Irrelevant. So she goes and she gets Kelvin Kirk, and it's going to be close, but she does not make it back in time for the press conference. So the press conference starts with a butcher up there pretending to be the last pick of the NFL draft. And he answered a bunch of questions. He answered in the most vague way possible. And then like 10, 15, 20 minutes into the press conference, Paul Salata gets up and says, all right, say goodbye to this guy. Here's the actual Kelvin Kirk. And the whole crowd laughed. They thought it was just part of the festivities, just part of the fun. And of all the ways for this thing to kick off, it was the perfect way for the beginning of Mr. Irrelevant.
I hate to use old references, but we're talking about old things. This is like the Naked Gun meets WWE. Like, that's a completely ridiculous scenario that I want to be a part of. And speaking of things I want to be a part of, are we still doing this? What's the procedure now for Mr. Irrelevant? How do they celebrate this human now that we've reached 2024 and everything is a full-blown, you know, social media and marketing machine?
It is. You know, it's a little bit more restrained. It's a well-run event. And it hasn't really lost its charm. It's still very fun and goofy. And, you know, Melanie announces the picks herself now in the draft.
To make the final selection of the 2022 NFL Draft, please welcome Melanie Salata Fitch of Irrelevant Week.
Keeping the irrelevant tradition going, I'm here with my daughter, Alex, third generation of irrelevance. And we've saved the best till last.
So they've leaned into it and polished it up a little bit, but they purposely do not ever want this thing to be a professional juggernaut. They want it to have a little bit of the rough edges that Paul Salata had, because it only exists because of him. So they want it to live in his image forever. And they've done a really good job of making sure that it's not, you know, sponsored by AT&T or whatever and all polished up and professional. It's still a pretty goofy operation.
Has it actually changed draft strategy in terms of who that person might be if you're a team in that position?
Yeah, so this, it has. Mr. Irrelevant became a thing pretty quickly. Just within a few years, there was so much attention paid to this idea of like, wow, it's so wild to celebrate the last pick of the NFL draft. So it got a lot of media attention, and it was good publicity for teams. And again, I can't emphasize enough, there was no Mel Kiper at this point. This thing was like a really small scale, no fans cheering. It was not 3 days. The draft was a very, very small thing. And so any publicity was good publicity, especially for the last pick of a draft. So people loved the publicity that came and the notoriety that came with it. So within 3 years, Pete Rozelle ended up in this incredible predicament where teams had noticed that the last pick of the draft generated all kinds of publicity and it was good for business. And so in 1979, as the draft wound down, Pete Rozelle was in this unbelievable situation where the Rams had the next to last pick and they passed. They let the clock run out and they passed to the Steelers because the Rams wanted to have the last pick. And the Steelers said, hey, we want the last pick. So they passed also. And all of a sudden, you have these two teams duking it out by not picking a player. And Pete Rozelle had to jump in and say, you're picking where you're supposed to pick. So the Rams had to pick, and then the Steelers picked last, which is how it was supposed to go. And so Pete Rozelle started calling it the Salada rule, and it forbid the second to last team to pass, you know? And so it cracked me up when I found out about the Salada rule because I looked up, oh, I wonder who has the last pick this year. And the Jets have the last two picks. So I don't know. They could totally do something very Jetsy and like run out the clock accidentally, but they are making the last pick no matter what.
I was just going to say, fun fact, you don't have to be picked last to be Mr. Irrelevant when you play for the Jets, but that's another discussion. Let me ask you though, out of all of these Mr.'s Irrelevant, like attorneys general, which one of them went on to actually have pretty good careers outside of Purdy?
Quite a few, actually. In the early days, not so much. When the draft went down to seven rounds in 1994, that's when we saw picks in the 220s, 230s, 240s, that kind of number. And in 1994, a guy named Marty Moore was selected number 222 to the Patriots. It was the last pick of the draft. And he was a good player, good linebacker, led the SEC in tackles, I think, in his couple of his years at Kentucky. So he was a solid player, not super impressive with scouting combine, but just a tough linebacker. And so he got picked last, and he was Mr. Irrelevant, and he didn't know what it even was. So they flew him out, and they had this party for him. He went fishing. He had a good old time, and then they had the celebration dinner, and everyone made fun of him. Everyone, it's sort of a tradition of this, of the final hurrah at this Irrelevant week where they just kind of talk about how this guy's going to be you're going to be driving a garbage truck in a couple of months, you know, don't get too comfortable playing in the NFL. And, you know, most guys laugh about it, but he burned out on it. He got really mad and he was like, I'm going to show these people, you know? And so he left there and he ended up playing 8 years in the NFL. He was the first Mr. Irrelevant to play in a Super Bowl. That was 1996. And then the first one to win a Super Bowl in 2001.
What's Salada's legacy like at this point in terms of this whole thing?
Well, he died in 2021, had a great life, and he put his daughter, Melanie, in charge, and it was like really a bonding thing for them, and kind of a beautiful father-daughter dynamic.
I was always very close to my dad. His vision was, you know, basically that all players drafted should be treated equally. It's such an honor to be drafted. It's irrelevant that you're drafted last. And so he wanted to do something that would show that the last guy's as special as the first guy.
It was his baby, and then it became her thing. And so she runs it now, and her two daughters actually are her key helpers.
We love to help people. That's like something our family really prides itself on, and we really work so hard to make people feel loved and appreciated. And I'm not sure if we're gonna, you know, be the head of it someday or what, but I love being a part of it every single year because it just fills me with that joy and that kind of, you know, desire to give back to the communities.
And so it's really, it's a staple, it's an institution for the NFL at this point.
Oh, that's adorable. I love it. Coming up, the golden age of irrelevant relevance.
You promised.
I took the garbage out.
No, I'm talking about all the work we need to get done around here.
I know. We need a new roof and we need replacement windows.
How about a new bathroom and some overdue remodeling?
And how are we supposed to pay for all that?
My sister said she called Remodeling Loans and they were able to find her certified contractors.
That's great. But how'd she get the money to pay for all that?
Remodeling Loans offered zero interest for 60 months. They even have payment plans with zero down and zero deposit.
Looks like we're getting a home makeover.
Great. Now, if I only knew someone to call for a husband makeover.
Really?
Remodeling Loans is the number one leader in home improvement financing. Call 800-921-1403 today for a no-credit check, no-risk approval. Get approved today and we'll match you with the best contractors in your area. And remember, no-deposit financing is now available. Call 800-921-1403. 800-921-1403.
This is Freddie and Harry.
You know I felt strongly about the Falcons winning that division without picking eighth overall before the draft even started, right?
Absolutely.
I say to myself, when are the Falcons going to have the luxury to be able to be picking the top 10 again? That's not likely. So now you're going to have to give up a boatload of draft capital in a few years to try to move up and get your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that now.
Check out more from Freddie and Harry weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Aaron Rodgers got traded to the Jets. If they both could do it over, would they?
It worked out so well for Jordan Love that I wouldn't want to disrupt the timeline at all.
Would the Jets do it again?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. And I think the answer is yes. I think they would.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
You have cancer. There's nothing you can do to prepare yourself.
Round one of chemotherapy.
I'm gonna fight it. I'm gonna survive. There's no way I'm gonna let this take over me.
Cancer doesn't care what you look like, who you are.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's life. It may save someone you love.
Cancer about you.
Live, fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, let somebody else fight for you.
Because of all the donations, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
One, two, three, never give up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Visit v.org/donate.
Continue in the East. Pacers and Bucks. Indiana's won back-to-back games in the series after falling in Game 1. Have a chance to take a 3-1 series lead today. The Bucks still without Giannis with his calf injury. Dame Lillard not playing tonight either with Achilles soreness. The Pacers favored in Game 4 by 9.5. They lead it by 3, 24-21. 3:24 to go first quarter. Chris Middleton getting leaned on to play a big role for the Bucks tonight. Has 6 early points on 2 of 4 from the field. Tyrese Halliburton leading Indiana scores with 7. Miles Turner has added 3 to go with a rebound. Earlier, the Clippers survived the Mavs comeback to even their series at 2. LA led by as many as 31, found a way in the fourth quarter. Without Kawhi Leonard, James Harden helped deliver down the stretch.
Washington swipes at it as he shades Harden to dribble to his left. Harden does on the near sideline. 6 to shoot. Harden's got to go. He crosses over to his left. At the left elbow. A runner. And it's good for James Harden. 112-107. Clippers by 5.
The call on ESPN Radio, Harden at 33. So did Paul George. Kyrie scored 40, while Luka had 29 in a triple-double, the fourth of his playoff career. Game 5 is Wednesday night in Los Angeles, headed back to L.A., tied at 2. On Sunday Night Baseball, the Red Sox and the Cubs in the bottom of the second. Boston taking a 1-0 lead. Connor Wong a single. Play-by-play on ESPN Radio affiliates.
Hey, it's Michelle Smallman. NFL Draft, NBA Playoffs. I'll tell you all the small things I learned from a full weekend of sports at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
When I met with Ron Washington at Angels Camp this spring training, I discovered a man who had finally found his calling again. A man whose career focused on two things, grinding and teaching, with integrity and honesty, even if generationally, he didn't fit the mold. While many coaches are trying to work their way into a managerial job, Wash has always been about getting the most out of his soldiers. But his MLB journey has had its ups and downs. So today, senior ESPN journalist Howard Bryant and I put Wash's baseball life under the spotlight and explain why this last chapter just might be his most impressive yet. I'm Clinton Yates. This is ESPN Daily. Ron Washington, it's one of those names that you recognize if you have more than a casual interest in baseball. Take me through why that is, Howard.
Well, because in the old days, when you were a manager, a lot of your coaches were really your drinking buddies. Not all those guys were serious baseball people in terms of, I'm here to help you be a great player, help you be a good player. And I think that with Wash, the reason why Wash got so much respect, the reason why people really gravitated toward him was because there's absolutely no pretension about Ron Washington. What you see is what you get. And that is something that a lot of people like to say they're about, but they're really not. When you're in a baseball environment, in that sports environment, who do you respect? You respect the people who can do what you can do. And if you can't do what they do, especially, you know, in that alpha environment, they're not going to respect you. And the thing that Wash always got was Wash got the most out of players. It was never about him, you know, and it's very rare. And I think that's one of the things that people really respected about Wash was that Wash wasn't trying to build a reputation off of you. He was trying to make you a really good player. And Wash has always been simply committed to the game of baseball. That level of authenticity is very, very hard to find.
For those who don't know, what kind of a ball player was Wash?
Wash was a defensive ball player, but Wash was a good player. Wash was a scrappy ball player. Wash was one of those guys who, you know, he played damn near, 1,300 games in the minor leagues. He's not a can't miss. He was no bonus baby. He was never that guy who everybody was waiting for to come up. Wash had to grind and grind and grind. The thing I love about Wash coming up in the early 70s is that that's really not the pathway for many black players. There used to be a saying in the 50s and the 60s, and maybe in the 70s as well, no blacks on the bench. And you think about it, most black players in the 40s, 50s, obviously it's the 50s and the 60s, they were great players. You had to be a really, really good player. You had to be a starter. And Wash was really one of that first generation where you could be a black utility player. You know, one of the funniest stories, of course, was one of my guys, Gary Washburn, who covers the who was covering the A's with me back in the 90s, did a piece on Wash. And one day he referred to Wash as a ball player of limited offensive capabilities. And I think Wash hit 20 home runs in his whole career. And so Gary didn't think that was offensive at all, but that was offensive to a proud man like Wash. Wash was like, I was not limited. And the running joke, one of the things about Wash, every time you walk by Wash, when that story ran, he would walk by and go, my wasn't limited. He would always say that. And so that has become a running joke in baseball for about 25 years now.
Most people who know Wash, casual fans, will know him from managing the Rangers to back-to-back World Series appearances in 10 and 11. And he's also the winningest manager in the history of the franchise. But his tenure in Arlington was an interesting one. Let's start at the beginning, Howard, from what you know, and then we'll work our way back to how it ended.
Well, it started, you know, with the interview. And it, for me, having been with Wash in Oakland, this was a time when, you know, go back to Moneyball. Billy Beane is the guy in the early 2000s. And you know how it is in sports, football, baseball, whatever. It's coaching tree. And suddenly Billy's guys were now getting hired. Ken Maka got hired to manage the A's. Paul DePodesta got the GM job down with the Dodgers. And we were wondering whether or not baseball was going to treat Wash like a leading man. Was he going to get that chance? And so I remember I was driving up. I was at the Washington Post at the time. And I was driving up to Baltimore and I got a call from Wash. He had just interviewed with the Rangers. And he was excited about the job. I didn't know if he was going to get it or not. I was always very fearful for Wash because he was a little older and also because he didn't look the part. He didn't kiss up to people, you know, trying to get jobs. He wasn't in the broadcast booth second guessing everybody trying to, you know, make himself look better. He was just all about the work. And as we know, a lot of those types of people, they get passed over. And so when Wash got the job with the Rangers, I was incredibly happy for him. And I called him up one day during the early years of the tenure. And I said, you know, how are we looking? And he's like, man, I hate this job. I was like, you hate this job? All you did, you wanted this job. All you did was talk about one day being a manager. Why do you hate this job? And he would say that these kids aren't men. And I can't talk to them. I can't relate to them. In today's player, if you try to give them some constructive criticism, they go behind your back. They'll go to their agent and the agent will go to the GM and nobody will come back to you. I don't have that relationship. He's like Tommy Lasorda, but we would never do that. So he was having that generational issue. And then two things happened. He connected with Michael Young, one of the best.
Every Chihuahua's hit, run, and win airs right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, Tim Haggerty back with you live at Tecumseh Cheney Stadium where the rain is drizzling down. The field is not occupied by anybody. The Tacoma Rainiers are ahead 12-5. And we've received word that in the next couple of minutes, this game is going to be called. It is an official game, so Tacoma will win the game 12-5. That is why the players were pulled off the field. It was surprising, and for those of you listening, that's why I didn't have any theories, because no rain had fallen since the 40-minute weather delay in the bottom of the fourth until the end of the bottom of the sixth. But perhaps it's that when the Rainiers went ahead by 7 runs and things were getting late in the game, seventh inning about to begin, at that point the standards were raised a little bit as far as the playing conditions. And evidently that infield dirt, which never was covered by the tarp, was not ideal. And the 40-minute weather delay, followed by a field condition delay. This game in the next couple of minutes is going to be officially called. There's a professional baseball rule that you must wait a half hour. And any moment now, we're going to have an umpire come out, we are told, and officially tell the press box that this game is over. I was told we're clear to announce that at 37 past the hour. They still have not officially called the game, but I think that'll happen any moment. Put it this way, I just saw Chihuahua's center fielder Bryce Johnson walk by out of the corner of the dugout, and he's not in a uniform anymore. So there's your sign. So thanks so much for listening to Chihuahua's Baseball today. The Chihuahuas end up on the losing end of that 12-5 score. So we're going to come back and have the West Star postgame show. So we'll take a commercial break right now. Do kind of a unique version of the postgame show here, a game that ended in 6 innings. And we'll come back after this on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Triple S Janitorial and Pool, El Paso's local family-owned distributor for over 45 years. Triple S has you covered for all your swimming pool and cleaning needs, residential and commercial. As the supplier for all City of El Paso pools, Fort Bliss, UTEP, and now the splash pad at Southwest University Park, they have what you need to keep your facility clean and your pool blue. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit Triple S Janitorial and Pool, 10015 Carnegie, or online at catalog.triplesElPaso.com.
IPS Commercial Electric is here to serve the greater El Paso area, here for your commercial and industrial electric needs. From new installations to electrical service repairs and maintenance, IPS is here to help our customers meet their goals. IPS is a proud member of the El Paso community, and we are excited to partner with the El Paso Chihuahuas. Call us at 915-200-4318 or visit us at ipsaecorp.com.
This Friday.
Going once.
And every Friday.
Going twice.
Starting at 10 a.m.
Going.
Open the station's mobile app or go online.
Going.
There it is. Dining deals.
I got it.
This Friday, 100 dining deals will go on sale for half price. On sale at KLAQ.com, KidsElPaso.com, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Get $50 worth of incredible food for just $25.
50 for 25.
100 dining deals on sale this Friday, 10 a.m.
Hello, this is catcher Austin Hedges. You're listening to El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball on 600 ESPN El Paso.
As the rain falls again in Tacoma, we have the Westar postgame show here today from Cheney Stadium. Let's take a listen to the highlights. The Chihuahuas fell behind 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning when Tacoma's Brian Anderson hit a sacrifice fly. Then, in the top of the second inning, the Chihuahuas loaded the bases, and Mason McCoy had this walk to bring in a run. 3-1. Low ball four. No challenge from Tacoma. And the Chihuahuas have a run. It's a bases-loaded walk for Mason McCoy. So that made the score tied 1-1. After that, the bases were still loaded for Clay Dungan. 1-1. Swinging a line drive, center field for a base hit. In from third base is Plawecki. Mercado being sent in behind him. The ball goes all the way to the wall. McCoy will score. Dungan going to third. And he's in there standing up with a bases-clearing triple. That was the Hospitals of Providence play of the game, brought to you by the Hospitals of Providence, the official hospital of the El Paso Chihuahuas. More runs for the Chihuahuas within that inning. With Dungan at third, Bryce Johnson brought him in here. Diaz on 2-0. Chopper back toward the mound. Dungan scores. Throw goes to first in time. Nice base running by Clay Dungan. Five runs for the Chihuahuas in that inning. Dungan was also hit by a pitch today. He is the Westar star of the game, brought to you by Westar. It's more than banking to us. Unfortunately, the Chihuahuas 5-1 lead was short-lived. The Rainiers came back with a three-run homer in the second inning hit by Blake Hunt to make it 5-4. They'd add three more runs in the third on an RBI double by Jason Vossler and another home run by Hunt, a two-run shot. Then one run in the fourth on a sacrifice fly by Brian Anderson. An RBI double by Nick Solak in the fifth and a home run by Cade Marlowe. RBI triple by Michael Chavis and a single by Vossler to bring in a run in the sixth. That moved the score to 12-5, and that was the final score. We'll have the final totals after this on the Westar Postgame Show on 600 ESPN El Paso.
This is the Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we win championships, we're not supposed to win. When we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore. When we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You've never seen a gym like Choose Fitness. Endless amenities with something for everyone. Tons of cardio and strength equipment. Love self-care? Give yourself some you time at Choose Fitness. A zillion great studio-type classes that you'd pay a fortune for at a studio. Recovery is your jam? Enjoy their state-of-the-art recovery lounge with compression boots, percussive therapy, massage chairs, and more. You won't believe how much you get for $9.99 a month. Grab your free 7-day pass or join today at Choose Fitness. CHUZEFitness.com.
Speaking Rock proudly sponsors the El Paso Chihuahuas. They're open 7 days a week and are located at 122 South Old Pueblo Road. Come visit them and let their friendly staff assist you in making your visit the most fun and entertaining. They hope to see you there soon. Follow them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Speaking Rock. For more information, call 915-860-7777 or find them on their website at www.speakingrock.com.
From
From hometown to national. Sports spoken here. 600 ESPN El Paso. Is KROT El Paso. A Town Square Media station.
Hi, this is Cal Quantrill, and you're listening to El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball on 600 ESPN El Paso.
We are back live from the Westar Postgame Show from Tacoma here today. And the Chihuahuas have lost to the Tacoma Rainiers in a rain-shortened game, six innings in length, 12-5 the final score. 12 runs on 16 hits and one error for the Rainiers. Five runs on three hits and no errors for the Chihuahuas. The win goes to Diaz. He's 4-0. The loss on the Chihuahua side to Carpenter. He's 0-2. No save in the game. The time of the game, 1 hour and 48 minutes. Two delays combined for an hour and 14 minutes. The attendance was 6,680. The Chihuahuas are now 11-16. And the Rainiers are 17-10. The Chihuahuas do not play tomorrow. They'll travel back to El Paso tomorrow morning. And they'll take on the Sugar Land Space Cowboys on Tuesday. That begins a six-game home series and a 12-game homestand that also sees the Albuquerque Isotopes return on the back half. So the Chihuahuas will be home for a while. 12 home games coming up. And for tickets, you can go to epchihuahuas.com. Thank you to Zay Galindo back at the studio. This is Tim Haggerty signing off the Westar Postgame Show from Tacoma, where the rain is coming down. We appreciate you listening on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Thank you for listening to El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball. Chihuahuas broadcasts are brought to you by Casa Auto Group, Cesar Ornelas Injury Law, Choose Fitness, Eastern New Mexico University, GECU.